Ghoulish greetings, everyone. Those tunes are courtesy of the lovely country legend Bobby Mackie and the amazing Alien Manor.
Now today it's a different place, all the same with a new face, with strange mysteries hanging in the air. People in their sane minds swear they see you today. Are you looking for the love they took? Everyone knows that you couldn't bear the pain, so you took your life in the pouring rain.
Thanks for stopping by and making Paranormal Prowlers Podcast part of your morning, day, night, whenever you listen and wherever you are listening from. From remote village to the hustle and bustle of the biggest of cities and everything in between, it is greatly appreciated. This week's special city shoutouts go to Moorpark, California, Hermosillo, Mexico, Ogden, Utah, Greer, South Carolina, Grapevine, Texas, and Huntington Station, New York. So Long Island area, pretty cool. Thanks everybody. As always, I appreciate you lending me your listening vessels. I'm hoping everyone had a wonderful holiday and continue to have one as we ring in the new year in just a couple of short days, mind you. And I'm excited to see what 2025 has in store for us. This week we venture over to gorgeous Alaska. Our destination? Well, it takes us within the Lynn Canal, a stone's throw from Haines. Eldred Rock Lighthouse is not only the last from the original 10 built in a 4-year period that remains, but it's the only one still standing. Now, this is from just the number of years that the series were built. There's more than just one in Alaska, obviously. If I remember correctly, there's 11 active lighthouses scattered about, which is pretty awesome. Now, there would be several shipwrecks before Eldred Rock Lighthouse would be built. The worst probably had to be the Clara Nevada shipwreck. It's a steamship that ran aground in early 1898. It suffered an explosion, and it found itself engulfed in flames and sadly sank. Believed to be on board was several hundred pounds of gold. Now, mind you, it's not too terribly hard to believe this, as this was during the very historic Klondike gold rush. But put the gold aside, the most valuable thing on the Clara Nevada that was lost that horrible day was the human lives. While the exact number of people on board the Clara Nevada remain a mystery, it is believed that around 75 people were forced into a watery grave. The gold has never been located, but guess what? That does not stop treasure hunters from trying their hardest. Some of the known victims that perished on Clara, Nevada is a merchant out of a beautiful Juneau named Al Noyes, a gentleman named Harry Hunt from Montana, a man with the last name Hill from Seattle, George Rowe from Seattle, Ben Leckie of Portland, Oregon, and Frank Whitney of Cripple Creek, Colorado. MaritimeHeritage.com posted an old news article from the Los Angeles Herald dates back to February 18, 1898, and it's titled, 50 Unfortunates Went Down with a Steamer, Clara, Nevada. The vessel was a tramp, and no record was left of the passengers. Quote, a special from Juneau, Alaska, February 12th, confirms the news of the loss of the Clara, Nevada, and says the cause of the disaster was doubtless the explosion of her boilers. Of the 50 people on board, none are believed to have been saved. The wreck was discovered by T.A. Markham, customs inspector at Juneau, who ordered the Rustler to the scene in Lynn Canal, where a burning vessel had been seen. Wreckage bearing the name of the ill-fated vessel was found, but there is nothing to show the identity of any of the passengers. The Clara Nevada was a tramp steamer, and as he was plying between United States ports, She did not need to file her passenger list with the custom house officers. Those she had on board had been picked up at Skagway, being attracted by the cut she made in rates. It is thought that she carried 20 passengers, of whom 2 or 3 were women, several of her bound for Juneau, and the balance for Seattle. They then talk about a Colorado local, and this is what they had to share when it comes to Frank Whitney. Frank Whitney of Cripple Creek, Colorado, was known to be one of the unfortunates. He had been waiting for his wife to join him at Skagway, and becoming impatient, boarded the Nevada at the last minute. His wife arrived at Skagway only a few hours after the Nevada sailed, and, learning of his departure, followed him south on the steamer Rosalie, expecting to meet him in Seattle. This is all that is known of the victims. I mean, how heartbreaking is that? Man and wife separated by distance. I'm guessing that he had gone to Alaska from Colorado, probably for the gold rush. Many people were doing it. He was doing well, maybe, and he didn't want to wait. He was anxiously wanting his wife to join him, maybe start anew in Alaska. She does, but it is too late. And I mean, just by a couple of hours, that would make a really good movie. I mean, it's so sad. It's very heartbreaking. I can't imagine what this poor woman, this poor wife turned widow, went through when she heard what happened to her husband. I mean, it kind of makes me wonder, did she turn around, get back on the boat, and go back to Colorado? Or did she end up staying in Alaska? Who knows? Other known people to be on the Clara Nevada was the officers of the vessel, Captain C.H. Lewis. The first mate and second mate had the same last name, Smith. The purser, a man named George Foster Beck. The steward, a gentleman named O'Donnell. The freight clerk, George Rogers. The pilot, Ed Keeley. And chief engineer, David Reed. It is said that the entire crew consisted of 28 people and that they had 40 passengers on board. So that's 68. I don't know where the number 75 came from, but I was seeing that in a lot of the reports, that it was 75 people that went down with the Clara Nevada. Even one human life, that's just horrible. That's one too many in my book. Somebody who had actually been on the Clara Nevada and lived to see another day shared that their time that was on the vessel was just downright terrifying. LastFrontierMagazine.com shares this individual's account. Quote, passengers who had taken passage on the vessel between Seattle and Alaska, the trip before the ship went down, were questioned, and many of them did not have kind words for either the ship or the crew. Some claimed that her crew was incompetent, intoxicated, or both, and that the ship was unseaworthy. One of the passengers, Charles Jones of the Dallas, reported that, quote, I was afraid the Clara Nevada would be wrecked from the time she left Seattle until Skagway was reached. We smashed into the revenue cutter, Grant, when we were backing out of Yesler's dock. We rammed into almost every wharf which we tried to land. We blew out 3 boiler flues. We floundered around in rough waters until all the passengers were scared almost to death. We witnessed intoxication among the officers and heard them cursing each other until it was sickening. Unquote. Well, that's really scary. I've been on several cruises before, and you're putting your life into somebody else's hands. You are on a boat and you have no control. And that's how I always feel when I'm on a plane. I used to love flying. Can't stand it now. That's why I'd rather drive. But I don't like the fact because if there's crappy weather, whether it's rain, sleet, or snow, or intense fog, I can pull over somewhere and I know that I should be safe. But if you are in the plane and you're being thrown around and there's turbulence and you're just all over the place, or you're about to crash, or if you're on a boat and something bad happens, it's like you're vulnerable. And I hate that feeling. So I could only imagine how these poor people are on the Clara, Nevada. And like this gentleman said, they're almost hitting every single wharf. They're seeing the people, the crew, drinking, and they're arguing with each other. It's very hostile. Just a lot of things happening. I mean, it's no wonder it didn't blow up or sink a hell of a lot earlier. And this is just one account. And I'm sure there's a lot of people who were just like, oh my Lord, this was terrifying. So talk from the government regarding lighthouses was in the works since pretty much after the wreckage of the Clara, Nevada. They requested $300,000 to construct these stations, and they chose specific special locations for the lighthouses. And it would take a couple more years for things to finally move forward. They were approved, but given $100,000, not the $300,000 that they had asked for years earlier. The Lighthouse Board approves the building of Eldred Rock Lighthouse in mid-1905, and I believe it was 1902 to 1906 that these lighthouses, the specific amount, were being constructed. While the lighthouse was not here when the Clara, Nevada sank, bringing several to a watery grave, it sure was here for the discovery of the remains. LastFrontierMagazine.com shares more, quote, "What was singular about the Clara, Nevada was not so much the ship's death, but its revivification. 10 years later, almost to the day, another Hurricane Force gale boiled the waters of Lynn Canal. Ships scattered for the cover of bays and bights, and on Eldred Rock, the lighthouse keeper could feel the earth shifting beneath the tower. Though it was almost brand new, the structure shook violently. All night long, the wind screamed as it powered its way south. Waves rose to staggering heights and threatened to sweep over the small island. It was not until morning that the wind died and the waves settled. Only then did the lighthouse keeper venture outside. What a sight he saw. There, on a pinnacle off the northern end of the island, was the Clara, Nevada, high and dry. All the bones of her late crew and passengers were scattered on the beach. The storm had dragged the ship from its watery grave. The next night, the storm took the ship back." Unquote. Many strongly believe that Eldred Rock Lighthouse and the surrounding area is haunted by the people who died on the Clara, Nevada. Now, in 1973, the lighthouse is automated by the Coast Guard, and 2 years later, it's placed on the National Register of Historic Places, and it remains active to this very day. Now, a few short years after Eldred Rock is first lit, tragedy sadly strikes. February 26th of 1910 started out like any other day, nothing really out of the ordinary. In the early morning hours, assistant keepers Scotty Curie and John Sellender, they depart Eldred Rock and begin the short trek to a nearby lighthouse. Fast forward a few days later, and the two men, they have still not arrived. The first keeper, a gentleman named Niles Peter Adamson, he knew in his heart of hearts that something was wrong. Every fiber of his being told him something terrible has happened to these two men. He doesn't hesitate. He jumps in a boat and he rows over to Justina Gray to alert the authorities that Scotty and John, they'd gone missing. SheldonMuseum.com goes into a little bit more detail. Quote, "2 days later, the crew of the launch, Thelma, found the missing launch with all gear gone excepting mast, sail, and anchor. Overboard mast thwart broken. Keeper Adamson was haunted by the probable drowning of his trusted assistants. He later learned that Curie and Sellender had left Point Sherman on February 27th about 4 p.m. The snow began. Keeper Adamson later wrote, I myself am unable to account for any accident that could have happened to them, as there was no wind to speak of and a smooth sea. In my opinion, they should have reached home easily by 8 p.m., though they, Curie and Salander, assistant keepers of Eldred Rock Lighthouse, drowned February of 1910 in Lynn Canal, had an ebb tide to contend with. Whenever he could leave Eldred Rock, Adamson rowed or sailed his launch in the Lynn Canal and for a month sought his missing associates. At night, he rose in his sleep and stood at the window calling their names, a nightmare that continued the remainder of his life. On January 5th, 1911, Adamson resigned as keeper of Eldred Rock. He could stand it no more, unquote. And it did haunt this man. It stayed with him for the rest of his life. They weren't just associates and worked together. They were friends. They spent a lot of time together. They were like family, really. While he resigned as a lighthouse keeper in Alaska, he would later be a lighthouse keeper for Cape Arago Lighthouse in Oregon. But what happened to his two friends stayed with him, haunted him for the rest of his days. I found a death notice on findagrave.com. Niles Peter Adamson, 74, old-time keeper of the lights for the Coos Bay ports, died at the family home in Marshfield late Sunday. He was born in Malmo, Sweden, and went to America when he was 17 years old. He arrived on Coos Bay 33 years ago. From then on, he was in charge of the Coast Guard Lighthouse Service until 10 years ago when he retired. Before coming to Coos Bay, he served with the Coast Guard in Alaska. He also served with the U.S. Merchant Marine from 1886 to 1896. He is survived by his widow, Helma Marie, a son, Corporal Chester Adamson, who had just the week before returned home on furlough from 2 years' service in the Aleutians. Other survivors included daughter, Mrs. Anna Beckham, and two grandsons, David and Stephen Beckham of Marshfield, one nephew, Charles Swanson of Marshfield, one niece, Mrs. Ellen Tyson of Oakland, California, and one sister, Elna Green, in Sweden. The deceased was affiliated with Blanco Lodge, AF and AM, and was a member of the Astoria IOOF Lodge. Funeral services will be from the Campbell Funeral Home Wednesday at 2 p.m. with Reverend Edward Eckloff in charge. Interment will be in Sunset Cemetery, unquote. Besides the lost souls of the Clara, Nevada that haunt the area, paranormal happenings definitely occur here, like doors opening and closing all on their own. Disembodied voices and moans have been heard as well. Some have experienced hearing footsteps approaching them when no one else is around. Mysterious flickering lights have also been seen on the island. You know, there's just something about lighthouses, standing ever so tall and proud, stoic. They get hit with the harshest and cruelest winds and gusts. They get battered by threatening storms, slammed into by the biggest and roguest of waves. They help people navigate through dark and uncertain waters so they can get from point A to point B safely, and even on the foggiest of days. Did you enjoy this week's episode? Listen to the others, they're all awesome. Haven't heard every single one yet? No need to fret, you can binge listen to your heart's fright and delight by hitting up any of those podcast platforms such as Spotify, Blueberry, Pocket Casts, Castbox, Deezer, Muckrack. Basically, wherever you roam to listen to your other spooky podcasts, you'll probably find Paranormal Prowlers podcasts lurking in the background. Thanks for stopping by, and I'll
see you next year.